The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back to the final hour, and it has been an interesting one. And one of the most interesting stories concerns the LSU presidential search, as well as the current president at South Carolina. And you're saying to yourself, what does that have to do with anything? Well, certainly the president at LSU is critical because of all the problems they have down there. And it was just a week ago when William Tate was named as the new president. He headed over from the University of South Carolina. But as they say, hold on a second. We may not be done with this story yet. Andrea Gallo, who with Brooks Cabina has done what will certainly be award-winning investigative reporting on all of the issues in that athletic department. And Andrea joins us right now. Andrea, first of all, thanks for being here. It's great to have you on the show again. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Good afternoon.
So I think everyone was really excited last week. It looked like after a winter of discontent, maybe LSU had gotten it right with the hiring. So that was last week, though. And as you know, living in Baton Rouge and in South Louisiana, last week is a year ago when you're watching the machinations of the political worlds unfold. So let's pick up the story from that moment. Then we switch over to South Carolina, where we talked about the issues with Bob Caslin earlier with Josh Kendall. Does LSU have a president, or is he going to go back to South Carolina?
Well, that's a great question. So the chairman of LSU's Board of Supervisors says that as of yesterday, he spoke to William Tate, who is the South Carolina provost who LSU named president. And LSU's board chairman says that Provost Tate assured him yesterday that he is committed to LSU and that he will be coming to LSU. And he's supposed to start, I believe, July 1st or July 2nd. But we also know that over the past couple of days, South Carolina has made a pretty strong play to keep him, and that might not be over yet. Though William Tate has said he's coming to LSU, and last week when they announced him as president, he put on a purple and gold tie and everything. The contract hasn't been finalized. He hasn't signed his name on anything. And so I think there's still potential for this to keep playing out.
It's what's called in the world of legal and agent dealings, great leverage. And I have no earthly idea, as none of us do, what is going on in Columbia, but they're in a desperate situation. That almost looks like we're talking about LSU, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting because they are also in the middle of a sexual assault scandal that has rocked campus, that has led to protests from students, that has really upset a lot of people. And LSU, of course, is still reeling from their own sexual assault scandal, and the repercussions of that continue to play out on a day-to-day basis. So I think that Dr. Tate will find himself in familiar territory at LSU. It was kind of funny yesterday when all of this news was coming out, there were some students at South Carolina saying, you know, why would he want to stay here when there's this whole firestorm of sexual assault problems? But I don't think that by coming to LSU, he'll escape any of that.
Let's talk about that. It's been relatively quiet, at least in terms of headlines, but this is a story that you and your colleague have been working on for some time. Where are we?
So we've now reached the point where LSU has had two federal lawsuits filed against the university. One is they're trying to make it a class action lawsuit, a group of women who say that they were assaulted on campus. They have filed a federal Title IX lawsuit against the university. The other is an LSU athletic department employee who says that she tried to report sexual harassment and she was retaliated against for doing so. She has filed her own federal suit against the university. LSU remains under federal Department of Education investigations as far as their crime reporting goes under the Clery Act and as far as how they've handled Title IX issues. So there's a lot to clean up here. But LSU has also committed to spending $1 million to fund their Title IX office. They're hiring people to do Title IX work. They've created a few new systems and offices and things like that. So we've seen a few changes.
A few. Let's talk about some of the recent moves on that campus. And, you know, the presidential decision as it stands is significant. The university also hired Kim Mulkey from Baylor, a school that's had its own serious issues. And certainly her credentials are extraordinary with multiple national championships. Do you see any connection with that and what is going on just in terms of bringing someone in who at least offers some positivity?
That's a great question. I think no doubt that there has been a hope from LSU that by making this kind of powerhouse hire of Kim Mulkey, they are doing something to excite the fan base, to make people, you know, have some faith in the university again. And it's, you know, Title IX has these two aspects of it, one of which is that women deserve the same opportunities as men. And so from that standpoint, her hire is a real blockbuster because she will out-earn many of the men on LSU's coaching staff in lots of other sports. But at the same time, the hire comes while the LSU athletic department has been saying that they're preparing for an $80 million budget cut. The Tiger Athletic Foundation says that they can no longer afford to fund academic scholarships. And Kim Mulkey has said some relatively controversial things about Title IX at Baylor during her time there. And so I think that the hire of her, though LSU has hoped it would be a completely positive, you know, look for them, I think it has also raised a few questions.
Back to the reality of the situation, these lawsuits have been filed. The two people have come back to work, but I don't think we've talked since this came out. But can you explain the story the couple of weeks ago, Andrea, that put some restrictions on the two individuals in relation to whether they could go to games or not? This all came out. There was also a disassociation with Darius Geis. Where did this come from, and what exactly did it say?
Sure. So Virge Ausberry, who is one of the highest-ranking officials in LSU's athletic department, was kind of a key figure in this Hush Blackwell report. And he received a text message in 2018 from a football player who admitted to hitting his girlfriend. He did not report that to the police. He didn't report it to Title IX. He says that he called the football player. The football player recanted the admission, and he just left it at that. So there was a huge outcry about this, and a lot of people calling for serious consequences, including firing for Josh Berry. LSU did not do that. They originally suspended him for about a month. But then a few weeks ago, the LSU Board of Supervisors, apparently under pressure from students, from lawmakers, announced an additional penalty for him, which is that he will no longer be able to attend LSU football games this fall in person. They seem to think that was something that might appease a lot of the critics who have called for harsher punishment for him. But if anything, I think it has fanned those flames.
I mean, What does that have to do with anything, the fact that he can't go to a football game in person?
Right. I think that's the question a lot of people are asking. And the attorney who's representing some of these young women, including the girlfriend involved in this case who was on the receiving end of the domestic violence that Virge Ausberry got the text message about, you know, she released a statement afterward, and she essentially said that LSU's decision to suspend him from going to football games speaks volumes about the priorities at LSU and shows that the priority is not necessarily compliance. It's football.
Finally, Scott Woodward, who is the athletic director now and was not there. He may have been there. I don't remember. I can't remember. I mean, he was at LSU at one time, and then he left, and now he's the athletic director. What are you hearing from people in the community and as well as students on his stewardship the last 2 years?
Well, I think that people are excited about some of the hires that he has made, particularly the Kim Mulkey hire that we were just talking about. But also, I think there's a lot of frustration, especially among faculty, among academics, among that crowd, who see that Scott Woodward, one of the first things he did after becoming LSU's athletic director was he ended this policy of sharing athletic department profits with the academic side of campus. And F. King Alexander, LSU's former president, who has lately been speaking out a lot about the priorities of LSU and the kind of obsession with football at LSU, Alexander says that he was never consulted before Scott Woodward announced that policy change, and that he just did it, and that it was something that really, really frustrated both him and a lot of people on the academic side of campus. Scott Woodward disputes that, but regardless, the policy is no longer in place. And so I think he's got a lot of athletics fans excited, but I think that a lot of people on the university side of campus are questioning some of his moves.
I'll close with a very basic question that I, if you have an answer for, you will win the lottery. Who is running LSU?
Yeah, I wish I had a good answer for you on that one, Paul. I mean, I don't totally know. You can look at who the highest paid employee at LSU is, and that would be Ed Ogeron. But beyond that, I'm not sure.
I admire your honesty. You could have just come up with an answer just to try to win the $100 million, but you chose the honorable course. Andrea, thank you so much. It's always great to have you on.
Thanks, Paul.
Andrea Gallo, great investigative reporter with Brooks Cabina down in Louisiana. We'll take a break. If you want to get in, I suggest you do so. We will be more than happy to provide you with a spot here on the program at 855-242-7285, and we have 45 minutes to go, and it's all calls the rest of the way.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. I want to share something that I did. It was actually early this morning. I was on with Mike Greenberg and Heather Dinich on GetUp. And you know, Greeny asked me a question about the Saban dynasty. How much longer can he go? And Heather made a really interesting point, I thought, talking about Jimbo Fisher's comments from last week. The fact that Fisher, you know, had a really good team. And she said that if you look at it from the college football playoff standpoint, the A&M-Alabama game, which will be in College Station, is the most significant game of the year. Some would argue Clemson, Georgia, doesn't matter. They're all pretty important. And I look at it a little bit differently, and I'm curious where you are because – I don't think the Saban dynasty is anywhere close to being over. I think Saban is in better shape today than he has been in probably in some time. 2 years ago, you could make the argument things were maybe not as strong. The coaching staff 3 years ago, I should say, needed some supplements, especially on the defensive side. But now we hear Alabama may have the best defense it's had in years at Alabama. So what I said was interesting. Well, it wasn't. Of course, it's interesting. I said it. I'm curious if you think it's interesting or correct. I thought the NIL situation is the one thing you cannot predict with any coach, including Nick Saban. And I think we would all agree Saban has a good handle on it. But is Nick Saban going to be able to deal with it to a point where he wants to continue to? When you get into the locker room and players are quibbling over how much money someone is making, is that going to affect him? Or is he so great that nothing is going to bother him? Nothing is ever going to affect him. I joked with Greeny that the two of us would be sitting in a rocking chair 20 years from now, and Saban would probably still be winning national championships. Now, is that realistic? Probably not, unless you're just a... You know, you believe that Nick Saban walks on water. Oh, you do believe that. Anyway, 855-242-7285 is the number. We'll talk about that. We've talked about Tebow a great deal. And Darren, actually, Dario is up next. Hey, Dario, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
So I just... real quick on that comment about Alabama and Saban, I think while they keep winning, they'll keep doing well. I mean, kids want to go there. Top 100s always want to go there, even if they're sitting for 3 years and then they get their opportunity. So I'm that, you know, with Saban, and he's a great coaching mind. So I think they'll keep being successful. My main thing I wanted to call about was Tebow, though. I don't see where it's such a big deal, and so many people who, NFL pro, ex-NFL pros and people in the industry making a big deal about it. I mean, he's getting an opportunity, which I think he's fully deserving. He's always been a winner since college. It's his ex-college coach, so there's not that many other coaches out there that are going to know his skill set and what he's capable of doing. His body hasn't been beat up, you know, over the last several years. He's still been athletically active. He's 33, going on 34. He's 6'3", 255 pounds. I mean... He's an adequate tight end size. If he does well and he can legitimately make the team, you know, why not? I mean, he also brings the morale and good teammate vibe and the positive, you know, winner mentality to the to a team that really doesn't have that culture. So, you know, it's like, how about players that do happen to have, you know, pretty good skills, but just are terrible teammates and are terrible in the locker room, and they still get opportunities. So, you know, I see the total opposite. I don't understand why, you know, so many ex-players have such issues with it. What's your opinion?
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting point. I think it goes deeper. And I don't want to use one or two comments that I've heard in the past from Tebow's professional teammates, because it's just, you know, it's anecdotal. But I think as you get into professional football, what made Tim Tebow popular in the locker room makes him more unpopular in because it's different. You know what I'm talking about. It's professional. Nobody wants to hear anything but this is what you're supposed to do. And go win the game. Everyone understands it's a cutthroat game, and the rah-rah speeches that may have worked in high school or college probably don't work as well. Now, having said that, Tom Brady is a great leader in the locker room. I know some of his teammates, his former teammates, and they all say he is a great motivator. So. There are exceptions, but I think it also depends on what side of the ball you're on, too. If you're a defensive lineman, you probably really don't care what Tim Tebow is saying on the other side. But if you're an offensive lineman, you do.
Yeah. I can understand that. You know, he hasn't necessarily played the actual position, but, you know. But, you know, a lot of teams have a more smaller, more athletic, more skill set type of tight end, and they have a slightly less athletic, less able to, let's say, go out for a catch type of tight end, and they you know, rotate them in and out as the plays you know, required. But at least you got a guy who has shown to be athletic with some decent speed. He can, maybe not with the greatest mechanics, but he can throw a ball. He's smart. I mean, I think it's a win-win for a team that, you know, is still at the bottom of the barrel. What, they win like one game last year?
1-15. I mean, they were terrible.
Yeah. So I mean,
I agree with you on that. I don't think it matters. I mean, we're talking about Tom Brady taking on his third cousin because he played tight end in high school with him. That's absurd. And by the way, I've seen it, and you have seen it. I had a friend in college who was a big basketball player, and his high school teammate went along for the ride because he was that important. He was also coming from New York to Knoxville, Tennessee. The guy couldn't play a lick. I mean, he probably couldn't start on some of the fraternity teams, but he got a free ride because he was the best player's best friend. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about a guy who has yet to make the team. I know I've said that a few times. But it's worth remembering. He hasn't even signed yet, let alone made the team.
Exactly, and everybody's just bashing him somewhat on. Not everybody, because I've been listening to you for a little bit now, and not everybody's bashing him. But you know, I think some of the more professional or ex-professional guys seem to be bashing him. You know, like he's taking somebody's spot and this.
Yeah,
I'm like, if there's somebody out there who can perform the job better, then go try out. If you have an agent, you know, go try out.
That's a great point. I'm not saying it's easy to. By the way, it's very difficult to make an NFL team, but they'll look at you. They may not look at you for long, but if an agent called Urban Meyer and said, "Listen, I got a tight end here that you have to see," I'm sure he'll say, "Okay, tell me, you know, send me some film," which Tebow doesn't need to do. And if the film looks good, they'll say, well, come on out. I mean, we'll throw a couple of passes and let them block for a minute. I mean, it's not hard. It's not complicated. If you're an NFL coach, you know whether someone can play or not, at least in terms of putting them on a field to try them out.
Exactly. And if you make the team, you make the team. If you don't make the team, you know, hey, maybe make the practice squad. Who knows?
You know, about half the guys that show up on the first day of training camp are not going to be there on the final day.
Well, there's some guys that get drafted in the fifth and sixth, seventh rounds, and you know, they don't make the team. So
absolutely. Hey, this is a great call, Dario. You call again, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you so much. We're heading to the break. We have 30 minutes to go. You want to get in? Good time to do it. 855-242-7285, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back here late on a Wednesday afternoon, and the legend known as Legend is next.
What's up, Paul? 2 days in a row, baby.
Man, it feels like the old times, Legend. Thanks for dropping by again.
Oh, man, you know, I've always loved the show, Paul. I'd be listening even if I don't call, man. I'd be listening, you know. So, I mean, I love the show. I don't agree with a lot of what people say. It ain't as great as it once was. I mean, everything changes, Paul. You have to adapt with the times, baby. It ain't your fault a lot of callers suck, you know?
Well, you know, I've been the first one to admit, Legend, this is a different medium. You're dealing not only with our normal radio crowd, you have the expanded audience on radio. We've had satellite radio for some time, but you also have a television component, which is complicated. And I don't say that because I don't like it. I do. I think it's a way to reach a lot of people, but it's a different platform than radio.
Yeah, I think you adapted great, man. Where you came from and where you at, man, don't let nobody drag you down, man. You keep on going and shoot for the stars, man. I'm so proud of you, man. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you, man. I can't even begin to express to you how much, you know, I've enjoyed watching your ascent, man. Don't let nobody tear you down, man. Shoot, don't let nobody bring you down, brother.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Damn it. I mean that. Hey, Paul, is my great friend Greg Calhoun, your friend, Bama Bird, your classmate. You know, he's passed on now. He's one of the greatest Alabama fans of all time. And he used to tell me that Nick Saban dynasty is over when Nick Saban says it's over. and you have to
that's the way it
that,
is with
Paul.
The great ones.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to play for Coach Wooden? You know, I mean, who wouldn't want to play for Red Auerbach? I mean, this is this kind of run that we are seeing, Paul. We are seeing a Red Auerbach. We are seeing a Coach Wooden like run, you know, right here in college football. And, you know, this thing is going to be over when Nick Saban says it's over, baby. And, I mean, here's the real reality, Paul. Nick Saban is making millionaires.
True.
I mean, if you're a five-star, 18-year-old player with an aspiration to make the NFL, how in the world would Nick Saban and Alabama not be on top of your list? I mean, it's just reality. It's simple math. You know, Alabama has put more players in the NFL in the last 10 years than five or six conferences put together. I mean, it's amazing what we are watching and seeing. And it will be over when Nick Saban says it's over, Paul. And did you see where Arch Manning is taking a visit to Alabama?
Yeah.
think this is what makes Nick Saban great. He's already filling out the 2024 death chart, Paul.
That is so
true.
I mean,
he's playing chess while other people are playing checkers. I mean, it'll be over when Nick says it's over. And you tell that to Mr. Greeny for sure. And did I hear somebody say, Paul, the most important game this year is Alabama against Texas A&M?
Well, I was on ESPN this morning with Greeny, and Heather Dinich said that that's the most impactful game from a college football playoff standpoint.
Well, somebody call Diamond Express then. Because if that's the most important, impactful game, get Diamond Express on the line, Paul. We need to make some more rings right now. Because I'm telling you one thing, Gumbo. When we get to Aggieland this year, we're going to have two things on our mind. Chewing bubble gum and kicking ass. And when time to kick off gets ready to go, we're going to be all out of bubble gum, baby. And, Paul, the thing about Tim Tebow, I got something to say. This ain't nothing but jealousy. Leave that man alone. If he wants to try out for a team, let him try out. My greatest moment in sports is watching Tim Tebow cry on the sideline at the Georgia Dome. I mean, I love Tim Tebow. I had to give him respect. He's an honorable, respectable person, and it ain't nothing but jealousy that's driving this whole mess. So what? He's down in Jacksonville. I'm a big Colts fan. They try out 30 or 40 players a year that don't even been on an NFL roster to see if they got talent to make a team, Paul. So this ain't nothing but jealousy. Peace out. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. Legendary.
Thank you, Legend. Hope to see you soon. Great to hear from you. Trey is up next. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Oh, man, first-time caller. I really love the show, man. I was just calling in regards to the dynasty for Nick Saban.
Correct. What do you think?
I don't think NIL is going to affect him at all. I mean, what he harps on so much, I mean, you want to come somewhere and win, why not pick him, you know? Like you said earlier, I think he'll keep a lock on the rules and regulations to make sure everything's done properly. I don't think that affected at all. If anything, improve his recruitment.
Well, is that possible?
Sure. Why not?
I don't know. He's just 3 months removed from the best recruiting class of all time. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, he can always do better, but it's hard to imagine doing much better. What I mean by that is I don't think it will affect his recruiting. I think the question that some have, and you clearly don't agree, is the little things, whether, you know, Saban walks into a locker room, will he be able to motivate as easily? I think as long as they know they're going to be making much bigger money down the road, I think that's ultimately what's going to drive players. Not making seems like a lot of money, but if you make $50,000 or $100,000, that's a sum of money considerably for anyone that age, or for many or a lot of ages. But if you're about to make $15 or $20 or $30 million, it's not that much.
Right. So you're saying that money will become more of a motivator rather than...
Well, money is going to become at least initially, until everyone gets a handle on it. All of a sudden, right now, nobody's making anything, and it's possible that your quarterback, maybe knocking down some pretty good coin. So, you know, what do coaches do? But Saban, he's dealt with issues from the beginning. I'm assuming he can deal with this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.